Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Wash and Word hand car washing business. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought this was verse by verse Bible preaching. Well, it is. It's verse by verse Bible preaching brought to you by the Wash and Word hand car washing business. Okay, now that I'm done sounding like a dork, I want to welcome you to verse by verse teaching. This is where we get the God's word out into the public. And we do it in a very non-traditional way because we believe that the world has enough churches, but we lack the full counsel of God's Word. So we take the Word of God, we go verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, and we give it to the public outside of the four walls of the church. We are definitely not anti-church. We believe that the greatest institution the Lord has ever instituted was the church of Christ, his body, and he's coming back for his church. But we also realize that the church, by and large, has fallen into compromise. And by that, I'm not saying they don't love Jesus. I'm not saying they don't try to do the will of God. All I'm saying is that we are not hearing all of God's word in our churches any longer. We are hearing that which the congregants want to hear and that which the preachers want to preach. So we do it verse by verse. Now, that being said, you may be asking, how can I listen to this? Well, there are several ways. If you come by the Wash and Word, we're located at Highway 11W in Church Hill. We're in the Palace Shopping Center. And if you find yourself anywhere in that shopping center, whether you're at the store or antique store or the library or the gym, you just turn to 107.1 FM. You can hear these messages being played on a loop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So this parking lot will always be known as a place that you can go 24/7 to hear the Word of God. And also, if you miss any of our older messages, we record them all and we have them on our website, free to download, free to listen to, and encouraged to share. Just go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And finally, these messages air Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. on WMCH 1260 a.m. radio. And since we're talking about it, let's go ahead and plug the verse-by-verse Bible teaching that I do live on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. So I hope to see you out there. All right, let's get back into it. We're in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Paul is laying down some truth. And if you've been following along through this this whole book, this whole letter to the Church of Corinth, Paul has been laying down some truth throughout. And we're going to pick it up here where we left off, which is verse 4. And I'm not going to rehash the last two messages, which covered verses 1 through 3. So again, go to washandword.com if you want to hear those. So verse 4, Paul says in chapter 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. All right, let's stop right there. So what Paul's saying, and it's pretty clear, there are different gifts, different services, and different ministries, but all working and manifesting through the power of the Holy Spirit. And on top of that, he says there is but one Lord. Listen, to make the gifts of the Holy Spirit the primary focus, listen to what I'm saying, is to seek emotional and physical manifestations that, even though they result in what appears to be a mighty working of God or a mighty working for God, the drawback to this type of consuming focus is that there will always need to be a greater manifestation the next time. And this is one of the problems that we had during the hyper-charismatic movement of the Church of God. And I am 100% in belief that the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, are not only alive and active, but that they should be that they should be alive and active, that none of them have laid way with the apostles or the New Testament church. All of the gifts of the Spirit are still and should still be active in the body of Christ. But when that becomes your central focus, when that becomes the reason you gather together, when that becomes the thing you look forward to most, i.e., your focus of worship, then you're headed down a path that is never truly going to lead you to the throne of Christ. Because sensationalism will always require greater sensationalism the next time around. So let us not focus on the gifts themselves, but let's focus on the purpose of the giving of the gifts. And that's why Paul started this chapter, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. He said, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant of this fact. So let us be educated on the gifts of the Spirit. Let us be reminded that this entire chapter deals with the non-ignorance of the gifts of the Spirit. And remember, folks, the gifts of the Spirit are multifold, not in terms of how many there are, but in terms of what they are for. And so when the gifts of the Spirit are operating, they're not only operating for the edification of the individual believer, they're operating for the edification of the church as a body, and they're operating for the witness of new believers, and they're operating as a testimony to unbelievers. And so, make no mistake, as we begin, or as we go through chapter 12, this is a pro-spiritual gift teaching. This is a pro-spiritual gift chapter. And so we focus on the gifts. And this chapter will do just that. And in the next verse, we see clearly what the intent of these gifts are. Verse 7, Paul says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I'll stop right there. So there you go. The gifts of the Spirit are given for the common good. And so there are three very clear truths that we can look at in this few verses that we've already examined in chapter 12. And they're very clear. First of all, it says each one of the manifestations. So not only should you not feel like you haven't received a gift, because you have, I assure you, but neither can you use that mentality to be apathetic and uninvolved in the work of furthering the kingdom. Some classic example would be, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I don't think I should go out and evangelize. We know that that's nothing further from the truth, that we've all been called and given a commission to go and evangelize. So we can't say to the Lord or to our own self-conscience, well, I am not going to do this or this because I don't have that particular gift, or I don't have any gift at all. All right, so verse 7, we have three very clear truths again. First, each one. So we are all endowed with at least one spiritual gift, sometimes others. And on that note, we're actually, we have access to every spiritual gift. Because if the spiritual gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is given to us by Jesus, then as possessors of the Holy Spirit, do you not know that we are possessors of every single spiritual gift? And God can call up those different gifts at various times in various instances. There have been times where I have used certain spiritual gifts that I completely lack. In my natural state, in my normal, everyday, comfortable expression of spirituality or spiritual gifts, there are certain gifts that are the very lowest on the list. And for others, they're the very highest. Again, no gift is greater than another. But the point I'm trying to make in so many words, or as my wife says more words than I normally need to use, is that we are endowed with, and we have the ability through the Holy Spirit to use every gift if necessary. You know, we're soldiers enlisted in God's army, and if God chooses to call us up to do a certain thing and to use a certain gift, then so be it. But he will always empower us to do the work. All right, number two, from verse 7, we realize that they are manifestations of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, that is. And for all of your physical human talents, they are but physical and human. And so these gifts, these spiritual gifts, they carry with them power. Power to achieve things that is impossible through the fleshly realm. It would be, if you compare what you can do through your flesh and through your fleshly abilities versus what God can do through His Spirit and His spiritual gifts and abilities, it would be the difference between someone simply sneezing on you that has a common cold versus someone sneezing on you that has Ebola. It's that different. The works of the flesh are filthy rags to the Lord. But thankfully, He has given us His Spirit. And so spiritual gifts do not consist of your ability, but rather your availability. I know that's a cliche thing to say. You probably heard it in sermons before. But it's very true. Things become cliche for a reason. And our ability is second to our availability. And because God is so awesome, He can, and usually does, take your natural talents and physical abilities, and He will combine it with your supernatural gifting. And my friends, the result of that is dunamis, which is a word we get for dynamite. The result is power. And so, of verse 7, of the three things that were very clear, one, each one, that means we all have a gift. Two, they are manifestations of the Spirit, not of flesh or physical endowment. And number three, they are for the common good. All this is out of verse 7, chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians. They are for the common good. You see, there's a purpose for every gift, every action, every invention, every work, every service. Everything that we do has a purpose, and that purpose is the common good. You see, your gift was never intended to be used to better yourself or to gain something or to make you look good in the eyes of others. Oh, she prays so beautifully. Oh, he teaches so well. Oh, he plays that instrument with such great fervor. In fact, the spiritual gifts, in order to be fruitful, must be used for the sake of the others. Did you catch that? That is that if you want your gift to better yourself or you, use it for the sake of others. And then our spiritual gift will build us up. And in the process, we have just built up others. And guess what? If we build up others in the body of Christ and we help others in the body of Christ, and at the same time, we are building ourselves up because we are putting others first, well then, as Paul says, it is for the common good. I mean, it really makes sense. It's kind of like the manna in the deserts for the Israelites. If they tried to hoard it or hold on to it, it rotted away. And our spiritual gifts are meant to be performed, to be, and that's a bad word, they're meant to be used, and they're meant to be, performed. I mean, we perform our gifts for the sake of others, for the common good. And so now Paul is going to move into a partial list of the various gifts. And we see this several places in the Bible, and we'll pick that up in our next teaching. We'll look at the gifts individually, but I pray these messages have been a blessing to you. If you want to bless us as a ministry, we never ask for money or tithe or anything like that. We simply ask that you come by, let us work to wash your car, earn the money that it takes to keep this business alive. That's how you can support us. Again, we invite you out to Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road in Churchill on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. for live verse-by-verse Bible teaching. Any questions, go to washandword.com.